When I think of a title, I really have no idea what the topic is or what will be talked about, and then I figure it out from there, and that makes it a little stressful sometimes, but it usually works out. So this time I basically just picked the title of a song called We'll Build a Land. As you know, this is in our hymn book. We sang it today, and I think it's a favorite song of many of us here. This song was written by Carolyn McDade. And you probably noticed when we were singing the song that it's in the section of the hymn book with the songs about commitment and action. So that's our topic for today, commitment and action related to social justice. Let's begin by reviewing the origins of the song. In Isaiah 61, verse 1, it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the broken, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them who are bound." We recognize some of those words from that song. The song lyrics, "Bind up the broken," for example, and "The land where captives go free." Then if we look at verse 4, of Isaiah 61, it says, "And they shall build the old waste, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations." More themes we recognize from the song lyrics, building up ancient cities, raising devastations from old. We can also find a familiar reference in the song from Amos 5:24. It says, "But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." Some of you will remember that Dr. Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech included these words, "No, no, we are not satisfied, and we will not be satisfied until justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream." And we can listen to a portion of the letter that Dr. King wrote from the Birmingham jail. He included the mighty stream theme there as well. He wrote, "But though I was initially disappointed at being categorized as an extremist, as I continued to think about the matter, I gradually gained a measure of satisfaction from that label. Was not Jesus an extremist for love? Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Was not Amos an extremist for justice? Let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." It's very clear that the author of the lyrics of We'll Build a Land found inspiration from the imagery of the Old Testament books of Amos and Isaiah, and maybe also from Dr. King's words. Carolyn McDade is the person who wrote the music and the words for We'll Build a Land, but Barbara Zanotti is credited in our hymn book with the lyrics. I'll explain why that's the case in a moment. Carolyn McDade wrote the lyrics and music for two other of our favorite UU hymns, Spirit of Life and Come Sing a Song with Me. Now, back to the lyrics and the credit to Zanotti. McDade said this about her social justice work in the 1960s and 1970s. She said, "Very early on, we were all working our heads off. The guys were always the spokespeople. Women did a lot of the work, but were seldom in the lead in speaking. One of the first women to take the microphone was her friend, Barbara Zanotti, at the Riverside Church Disarmament Conference in 1979. Zanotti crafted her speech around the words from Isaiah and Amos. So McDade adapted her lyrics from Zanotti's speech to write We'll Build a Land. And McDade has always taken care to credit Zanotti with the words. We'll Build a Land is clearly a song about social justice, and it supports the goal of ensuring inclusion and equity for all of us. Carolyn McDade is the first to say that her songs are not for everybody. She doesn't expect them to necessarily appeal to men or to mixed groups or even to younger women. Her music is slow and flowing. It's often pitched for lower women's voices. The lyrics are heavy with metaphor, thick with poetry. You won't find a male pronoun in there anywhere. Water, grass, birds, and breath recur as themes to her songs. If McDade's songs seem to some as earnest, strident, and at times to have almost a translated quality, it's not by mistake. This is McDade's intent. Now, we UUs certainly have opinions about all kinds of things, and we are not usually shy about giving our opinions. As McDade said, she does not expect everyone to love her songs. So here are some opinions that I found about the song We'll Build a Land. Hershey Julian said this is one of his favorite songs. He cited lots of reasons. First, it calls us to action. Second, he likes it because it was not a song from his childhood church, so it was new to him as a UU. Third, he likes that it draws from Christian and Jewish traditions, and that's one of the sources of Unitarian Universalism. And then finally, he says it's an uplifting tune and it's easy to sing. Joe Arujo wrote this about his favorite hymn in UU World. He said, "It's the hymn that best displays our Judeo-Christian heritage and places it within the principles and purposes of our current denomination. Plus, I'm a very low bass baritone, and so this is one of the few hymns I can really belt out with gusto." Amy Beth Gibbs said in UU World that the hymn was sung during her first UU service she ever attended. She said, "It gave me the comfort of a perfectly churchy sound with words that actually spoke to my heart and my hopes. By the third verse, I was joyfully singing." She said, "When I left that service, the tune followed me. It took me a few more visits to be sure, but I had finally found a faith where I belong." A woman who called herself Alpha Female online said this about We'll Build a Land. "Mostly, I doubt such a place is really attainable by humans at all, and I cry every time our church sings this song." Andy Lee Cote noted that inclusive language is an issue in this song. We always do this to our songs. She says that maybe brothers and sisters is not the best phrase in the song. She explained, "One of my favorite replacements for the phrase brothers and sisters is siblings in spirit." She notes that this is a quick fix. She said in the chorus of We'll Build a Land, we'll sing siblings in spirit rather than brothers and sisters to better welcome all into our worship. So it goes like this. "We'll build a land where siblings in spirit united by God may then create peace." See, it totally works. Reverend David Breeden wrote on the Quest for Meaning website about the song We'll Build a Land being full of actions that sound like quick fixes, but that are not possible. Reverend Meg Riley, the senior minister of the Church of the Larger Fellowship, said for years this was one of her favorite songs. It was often a song that she requested when she spoke about social justice issues. "The song seemed to be a rallying cry of unity toward a cause," she said. She said the song challenged her, comforted her, and centered her. It was a song that represented hope to her. Then she heard a Native American UU say that the hymn is very hurtful to her. Reverend Riley wrote about this Native American's experience this way. "To hear rooms full of white people singing about building a land does not bring hope to her. It brings grief and anger. I heard her say this," she said, "but truthfully, I didn't listen to her." Riley wrote, "My inner voice, that all-knowing voice of whiteness that I've been trained to respect and obey, thought something like, my, she's oversensitive. This is a biblical text. The words are adapted from Amos and Isaiah, written long before Columbus even sailed to the New World. And anyway, I love the song." So Reverend Riley continued to sing the song for another 5 years after the conversation with the Native American woman. And then she was introduced to the doctrine of Christian discovery. According to Dan Whittemore, the doctrine of discovery is the premise that European Christian explorers who discovered other lands had the authority to claim those lands and subdue, even enslave, peoples simply because they were not Christian. This concept has become embedded in the legal policies and countries throughout the world, including ours. The discovery doctrine has been condemned as socially unjust, racist, and in violation of basic and fundamental human rights. So after some time, Reverend Riley said that she realized just how much biblical narratives were and continue to be used in legal authorization for past and ongoing theft of Indian lands and rights. Now, Reverend Riley still loves the song, but she doesn't request it anymore. She wrote, "I know Carolyn McDade, who put that scripture to music, and I love her. I also know that she is an activist to her bones and would never want anyone to be hurt by her words. This is not a message that she is bad or the song is bad or that I'm bad for singing the song. It's just her personal preference that for her, singing the song is not about inclusive hope, and that's what we should be about." One more comment from the song from a UU. This comes from a blog called farfringe.com. The writer said, "I want to love this song, really I do." It's certainly a popular one that lots of people know. Here's the thing. This song should be amazing and inspiring and strong. And I expect in its original form, as crafted by Carolyn McDade herself, it was. I imagine that on guitar it has a driving rhythm and that the lyrics tumble forth in a ragged, folky, Dylan-esque manner. I imagine selecting this for the hymnal was a no-brainer. The words are tremendous and the tune is easy to pick up, but it has sadly become a sing-songy, rather long and annoying piece of music that many of us use sparingly because we fear a revolt. Now, I would suppose that just about everybody's opinion is in there somewhere. Some things I'd never thought of before. I personally really love this song, and I hope we keep singing this song, but there certainly are lots of things to think about here. So these examples do show how varied opinions are about this song. It's interesting to me that I did not find one opinion about the phrase "anointed by God." I would have expected some commentary on that one. As the OUU joke goes, when you get two Unitarian Universalists in a room, you have at least three opinions. And that's definitely the case for this song. So, enough on the positive and negative opinions on the song. Now for the rest of the story on Carolyn McDade. She is now in her 80s. She's given her life to what she calls the movement. By that, she certainly means the feminist movement that dramatically changed what was possible for women since she was a girl. But she also means numerous progressive causes. She has actively opposed wars, South African apartheid, U.S. foreign policy, and nuclear power. She has worked for economic justice, environmental protection, and the rights of women, migrant workers, prisoners, refugees, and lesbians. Running through her life has been a strong thread of women's spirituality. She says she writes now to feed the circle of women activists she moves among, the hundreds of women, mostly in their 50s and older, who sing in her choruses. McDade says her audience is a generation of women who grew up with church as a vital part of their lives, who raised one another's consciousness in the 1970s, and who came out ready to change the world. In 1983, McDade and Sister Chris Laughlin, a Kentucky Dominican nun, founded Woman Center at the Crystal Spring Retreat that was a formal apple orchard in Plainville, Massachusetts. Here, McDade found her strongest affinity and political education, she says, from women of faith who looked to liberation theology, the natural world, women poets, and the very lives of women as their scripture. Woman Center is now closed, but McDade still leaves women's choruses when she can, and most of her work is in Canada. McDade speaks of her songs as her teachers. Let's think for a few moments about some takeaways from the song, "We'll Build a Land," what this song may teach us. Verse 1, "We'll build a promised land that can be. We'll bind up the broken." I think this is about helping others. Reverend Scott Alexander said, "We need a religion that teaches our hearts to hope and our hands to care." And here's a quote from Robert Ingersoll. Ingersoll was a lawyer, a Civil War veteran, a political leader, and an orator in the United States during the golden age of free thought. He was also nicknamed the Great Agnostic. This quote is from 1882. It includes man and he, but in 2017, this means all of us. Ingersoll said, "The Unitarian Church has done more than any other church to substitute character for creed and to say that a man should be judged by his spirit, by the climate of his heart, by the autumn of his generosity, by the spring of his hope, that he should be judged by what he does, by the influence he exerts, rather than by the mythology he may believe." So helping others is central to what it means to be a Unitarian Universalist. Verse 2, "We'll build a land where peace is born. We'll bring good news to people." I think this is about finding and sharing hope. Reverend Riley, the minister who learned of the Native Americans' concern about the song, said this about hope. She said, "For years, I located my hope in the beautiful, compelling words of the song, in affirmations of a better world that we could someday make. But at some point," and she said it was a gradual waking up, not a sudden one, "I realized that this beautiful future is not actually where I might find hope. Hope is found in transforming narratives of oppression and injustice into new stories of equality and justice. And that always has to happen in the present. So hope is in the present. You can't move from the past to the future without going through the present. So for me, finding hope in the present means that I look away from the mountaintop, she said, where people might someday stand like oaks of righteousness. And I look into the valley of the relationships right around me in all of their imperfection. At some point and slowly, I realized that in this case, real hope was to be found by listening to the Native American people right next to me, honoring what they were saying, understanding the harm that this narrative does, and ceasing to sing the song. It meant deciding, she said, that I was more committed to right relationship in the present than to poetry about a beautiful future. Hope is what we do. Hope is what we create, what we work for, what we hope for, what we dare to imagine. Paul Waddell said that hope has to be seen to be believed. It has to be made visible. It has to be something we can feel and touch. We are called to be persons who embody hope for one another, he said. We have to be each other's partners in hope. Verse 3, we'll build a land of people so bold. We'll restore ruins of generations. I think this is about solving issues and creating new energy to make a difference. McDade now sees the possibility of change in a different way than the traditional approach of social justice actions to call attention to problems in governmental and political systems and to right the wrongs of society. That was the way she tried to do things in the 70s. Today's activists in North America, including McDade's choral groups, are passionately at work on environmental justice, food security, social and economic justice, and many other issues, but in ways almost invisible to the popular media and mainstream political sphere. McDade said, many of us are beginning to create the alternative we'd like to see, rather than hammering at the doors of the system and asking it to change. McDade said, it may look like things are quieter, but the activists I've worked with have all moved deeper. They've not given up. Verse 4, we'll build a land we seek, like oaks of righteousness stand her people. I think this is a call to action and a reminder to stand firm in our convictions. David Swartz said, intellectual understanding and critical thinking will make no concrete difference in the world without moral courage and skills to speak out and stand up. We develop them over time, he said, and the courage comes in part from practice. Our church community is such a community of practice. And it is an environment where we can speak our minds and be taken seriously. In dialogue, we can learn that we do indeed have something of great value to add to the conversation, and our democratic process, we can practice leadership. Sounds to me like, from these four verses, if we help others, provide hope, share hope, solve issues, create new energy, take the call to action with conviction, the result is the words of the chorus. Justice shall roll down like waters and peace like an ever-flowing stream. The question of the talk is this. Can we build this land? Can we work to see justice roll down like waters and peace like an ever-flowing stream? I think this is a good question to consider. As Unitarian Universalists, we've been on the forefront of just about every social justice issue that has existed in the last 200 years. And I'll give you some examples. Universalists issued a statement against slavery as early as 1790. Many people who were active in the 19th century abolitionist movement were Unitarian or Universalist. Unitarians and Universalists have participated in the movement for the equality of women for more than 227 years, with the feminist writings by Judith Sargent Murray beginning the involvement in 1790. The 20th century saw Unitarians active in the NAACP, including John Haynes Holmes, an early NAACP member, and A. Powell Davies. Proportionately more clergy from Unitarian Universalist congregations than from any other religious group answered Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s call to Selma to march for voting rights. Unitarian Universalists passed their first resolution for gay, lesbian, and bisexual rights in 1970 and are supporters of marriage equality. UUA organized the Standing on the Side of Love campaign in 2008. The Standing on the Side of Love website says this: "Right now, both love and fear are rising up in our nation. We stand on the side of love. We want to harness love's power to stop oppression, exclusion, and violence." UUs are also speaking out about immigration issues and about religious freedom issues. Recently, the UUA made a strong commitment supporting the Black Lives Matter movement. If you look on the UUA website right now, you'll see categories of issues that UUs are taking action about: economic justice, environmental justice, immigrant justice, LGBTQ justice, racial justice, reproductive justice. As Unitarian Universalists, we truly believe in deeds, not creeds. Now, thinking about We'll Build a Land caused me to ask a question of myself. What am I doing to practice this deeds, not creeds value of our religion? This UU community here is much more than a group of people who just come together to learn new things on Sunday. We are part of a strong tradition of faith in people and faith that the world can be a better place. Learning information about commitment to social justice is interesting and useful, but what am I doing in this community right now to move the ideals of Unitarian Universalism forward? Well, personally, I think I can do better. The former president of the UUA, Peter Morales, said this about Unitarian Universalism: "This is the religion for our time." And I think this is absolutely correct. In our world today, we see so many people living on the margins of society, poor people having difficulty making a decent life for their children. We see people of color mistreated in vile and despicable ways, and an institutionalized type of racism in our systems. We see people who are not part of the Christian religion persecuted for believing differently. So many issues. We see them all. If not in our community of Murfreesboro, we see them in the larger community of our state and our nation. Now we see the undoing of our society of so many hard-fought fights to make our world more just. We're losing ground on environmental issues, women's equality issues, racial justice issues, and so many more. I recently heard a U.S. representative talking about political issues ask this in an interview related to ensuring important policies related to fairness and equal treatment are not rolled back. He asked this question: "What will they say about us when we are dancing with the angels?" Good question for our elected Congress, and also a good question to us. What will people say about us UUs in Murfreesboro in the future when we're dancing with the angels? Or, well, maybe back for another life or providing nutrition for a tree. What will they say when we're gone? When we're gone, will people say we fulfill the best of what Unitarian Universalism is? Or will they not know anything about our movement and social justice interest? I feel really proud to be a UU because of our social justice record, but I can't be comfortable and proud because someone else did the work of social justice. What am I doing now to help build this land? Here's some lessons that I take away from studying the four verses to the song. Number one, as a UU, I am called to help others. Two, our church should be a community of practice related to social justice issues. Three, hope is found through action now, not in thinking about a future that might be. Four, changing a system to be more fair is important and necessary, but we can also create an alternative we want to see by living into our values despite the resistance of our governmental and societal systems. Five, moral courage is required to build this land we seek. Listen to this poem by Stephen Schick. From the loneliness of troubled times we come to discover that we are not alone. Into the dwelling place of togetherness we come to collect remnants of hope. From fear that all is lost, we come to discover what will save us. Into the comfort of each other's arms, we come to feel the strength that has not yet vanished. From darkness, we come to wait until our eyes begin to see. Into the refuge of fading dreams, we come to remove illusions and focus new visions. From despair that walks alone, we come to travel together. Into the dwelling place of generations we come, to pledge allegiance to being peace and doing justice. The jury is still out on this question for today. The question for us as individuals and for this congregation. Remember the chorus, come build a land where sisters and brothers, anointed by God, may then create peace, where justice shall roll down like waters and peace like an ever-flowing stream. Will we build a land where justice shall roll down like waters and peace like an ever-flowing stream? To that I say, amen, and may it be so.